When we were getting started, I was having a moment right back there when we were singing How Great Thou Art. I don't know why, it just really touched my heart. It was one, it sounded beautiful. We all sounded beautiful. And then just looking around, seeing the different voices and different ages, that was really, really a neat moment. Thanks, you guys. Thanks for coming and being a part of this. And I want to say thanks to all of you online. It's always great to have you here as well. You're the reason that we do this. And we want to give a special welcome to those of you who right now are at the 10:30 service in the Shoreview Community Center. Normally, we don't do video there. We love to have live people in person connecting every week, but every once in a while we'll have something like this where it's a special event. Right now, if you're at the 10:30 service, I'm actually right down the hall. I'm down at the community room. I'm in there with the brand new launch of weekly Juntos services. That is a milestone moment for us as a church. And so I wanted to be there for that. But also the things we're talking about today, I really wanted to be here with you. So engage as you normally would. If you're an amener, let's hear some amens. If we ask for hands to go up, we want to encourage you to do that too. Let's all be in this together on this key time. Well, I once heard someone say this. See if this you can resonate with this at all. I once heard someone say, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. With a show of hands, how many of can relate to that quote? Exactly. With a show of hands too, how many of you ever had your life completely disrupted by something you didn't see it coming, changed so many things? That can be a good thing, it can be a not so good thing. Well, what we purposely did with this series, we've been talking about this now for several weeks. We purposely synced up the series that we're doing right now with this season that we're in as a church that we're in now and going to be heading deeper into. If you're taking notes, I want to invite you to write this down. Last week, we launched a brand new series about holy disruption. We've had other series like Evergreen Series. We talked about some other types of disruption. This one, we're specifically talking about holy disruptions. I want to just show you a tiny example of the type of thing that happens when things you're not planning on come together. Let's put, if we could, Mike, if it's put up on the screen, we're going to put both of our slides, one that we created for English service, one for the bilingual service. This was these little things. In English, the book of the Bible that we're looking at in the series is called the Book of Acts. If you translate the Spanish, it's the Book of Facts. When you think about the book that we're going to be going through over the next couple weeks here together, is it the Book of Acts? Does that describe it well? Or does the Book of Facts describe it well? Or do both? It's Acts and Facts. I love it. See those little things. If we hadn't done a bilingual service, it's those little things that make it richer, that bring insight that you otherwise wouldn't have had. And as this series continues, much more than little things like that, one of the things we also hope happens during the series is that we all feel more connected to that early church. Because we're going to see a lot of parallels, and we want to see more parallels with us and those who've gone before us. In fact, if you're taking notes, I want to invite you to write this down. Emmanuel can trace our lineage back to Acts 1. I purposely chose lineage instead of genealogy or roots or one of those words, which are all good. I like lineage because of the imagery of a line, that there is a line that you can trace all the way back from us to the early church. There's a line that connects Emmanuel all the way back to the events that we're going to be reading about today. Last week, when we looked at Acts 1, we saw there was a small group of really confused people, small group. They were told, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, the region around them, and then to the ends of the earth. We can trace our history as a church back to that moment when that happened, when the Holy Spirit came on them. And one of the ways that you see the family resemblance between us and the early church is this: disruption is in our DNA. If you've been around Emmanuel, you know that we've had all kinds of changes over the years. In fact, one of the things I forgot about this, one of the things we used to say when we were just getting started as a church is change is one of our constants. Because it seemed like every week there was something new that we were learning and growing and developing. Well, I believe that foundation of change being in our DNA, it's prepared us really, really well for this season that we're going into, where we're really doing the best we can to follow Jesus wherever he leads. And so as a church who can trace our lineage back to Acts 1, I want to encourage you to write this down. We gave you this teaser last week. Are we about to mirror Acts 2? As a church that can trace our lineage back to Acts 1, are we now about to mirror Acts 2? We're going to show you what we mean by that. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at Acts chapter 2. We'll unpack it in context, and then we'll circle back to that question. So here we go. Are we about to mirror Acts chapter 2? That's the question. If you have your Bible with you, we invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. If you don't have a Bible at home and you're watching online, we want to encourage you to go right now to Bible.com. You can download a great free Bible app. If you're there in person at the 10:30 service, you can just go to the back of the room after the service. We have a stack of Bibles there on those tables. We would love for you to go home with one. All right, here we go. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says this. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Now, we highlighted together this time around here on this verse is because, and the reason we did that is because that's a key word. It's a key word. The scripture emphasizes they were together. They were in one place. It said they were praying constantly. One of the translations I looked at said it like this. They were in one place and in one accord. Wouldn't we be better as a people if we spent more time in one place and in one accord? All right, chapter 1 describes then these types of things, and we highlighted that key word about that key word together in that first verse. Here's another word I want to highlight in this first verse, and that's the word Pentecost. Let's highlight that one. Pentecost, often when you hear this word, this is a word that growing up, the only time I ever heard it was associated with the birthday of the church. That's how I've always heard it. How many of you know Pentecost goes back a lot further than that? A lot further than the birth of the church. When you know the Old Testament context for Pentecost, it just makes this New Testament passage about it so much richer. Can I get an amen from some of you who looked at it before? In that time, in that place, Pentecost was one of the big three festivals. You had the Tabernacles, you had Passover, and you had Pentecost. Some called Pentecost back in the day, Festival of the Harvest. And the reason they called it Festival of the Harvest was because people at that time would bring what was called the first fruits of their harvest. They'd bring it to God asking for his blessing in anticipation of what was going to come. How many of you know that's going to be highly symbolic here as we continue to read about first fruits? All right, the name Pentecost comes from the Greek word that means 50. The reason that was the case is the Festival of Pentecost is celebrated 50 days after Passover. All right, that's going to prove significant too. All right, here's another thing. In addition to all of that, Passover and Pentecost, in that audience, it would have awakened memories of the Exodus from Egypt. Passover was a reminder of the blood of the Lamb that saved them. Passover was. And then Pentecost became associated with something they received from heaven. So think of Holy Week, blood of the Lamb. What we're about to see is something coming from heaven. So there's all of this symbolism. All of this rich imagery that is linked to this moment right here. So now let's go back to our text, verses 2-4. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In Luke's gospel, this was interesting. I went back and fact checked that it was Luke that did this. In Luke's gospel, there's a significant figure that we know as John the Baptist. You see him in the other gospels as well. But Luke is the one who quoted John the Baptist as saying, okay, there's one who's going to come after me. I'm preparing the way for Christ. There's one who's going to come after me. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's in Luke's gospel, which is significant because Luke wrote the volume 1 of this 2-part series with the book of Acts. And so what are we reading right now? We're reading the fulfillment of that. This is that. The same wind that was hovering over the waters at the beginning, the same wind that brought dead bones to life in the Old Testament, the same wind that Jesus himself had compared to the Holy Spirit's work, that same wind now came rushing into that house from heaven with a mighty roar. And there wasn't just wind. there was fire, the same fire that had appeared in a burning bush, the same fire that appeared as a pillar in the sky, the fire that the scripture says refines and galvanizes and serves as a sign that God is with us. That same fire appeared as what the scripture described as tongues and rested on every person in the room. And we're going to take a deeper dive into the full revelation of what scripture says about tongues. It's got a lot of things to say, and a lot of people have a lot of beliefs that are anchored in scripture or kind of anchored in scripture or anchored in all kinds of just other thoughts. So we'll talk about that at week six when we focus on the Holy Spirit. We got a lot of things, interesting things to talk about in the book of Acts, and tongues is going to be one of them. All right, here's what tongues do here. In this specific passage, here's what they do. Let's go back to our text. Now, verses 5-7. All right. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are all these who are speaking Galileans? Well, how is it that we each hear, each of us in our own native language, Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, and Egypt. I got Egypt. And the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed and saying to one another, what does this mean? But we'll get to that part later. Let me hit pause on the mighty works of God part. I just get excited to talk about this. All right. For me, when we're hearing all those names, a lot of places that probably are not familiar to many of you, it was really interesting to see these on a map. So can we put this up on there for a screen for just a minute? So this is the nations that they listed here in this passage. And if you look at this, that was the known world at that time. God had chosen a moment when all these people had come to Jerusalem for this festival. Had this event happened, and now as these people are all going out, where they're going out with this, the account of what just happened, they're going out to all over the known world. In the very first book of the Bible, this is fascinating, the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, an incident happens. There were these people, they were building this tower. We call it the Tower of Babel. And what happened with language? Language ended up dividing all the people, right? What's happening here at Pentecost? Language is starting to unite. These tongues are beginning to unite them. People are hearing the mighty works of God declared to them in their own language. Barriers that had divided the human race for centuries was beginning to break down. We're beginning to break down. And out of fire, out of wind, and out of praise come the first fruits of a new multilingual witness and a new multicultural movement. First fruits, we're seeing that. It's happening on Pentecost, which is happening about 50 days after the Passover, where Jesus died and was resurrected. That's some pretty cool timing. Pretty cool timing. Well, last week I mentioned the Jesus movement was like nothing that the world had ever seen. Here's just one out of countless examples of that. Up until this point, movements were, as one of my sources put it, implicitly imperialistic, involving the domination of one culture over another. That's how you used to do things. Well, the Jesus movement was different. The same source I just quoted said this: is there a power that can unify divided nations of the earth without subjugating them? Is there a way of making people one without at the same time making them all the same? It is precisely that sort of unity which the Holy Spirit brings. The Holy Spirit created a new kind of social identity altogether, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. All right, now let's go back to our text one more time. I'll finish reading those things that I started, verses 12 and 13. After they're hearing the works of mighty works of God in their own native tongues, all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocked them, saying, they're filled with new wine. Okay, so something remarkable happens. Something very remarkable happens. And people receive this two very, very different ways. Very, very different ways. That day, about 3,000 people said, I'm in, and were baptized. About 3,000, which then is the first fruits of this huge harvest that we're going to see happening in the book of Acts. As this movement spread to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, to those places, those people had already gone planting those seeds. So we see people receiving this message, but we also see people rejecting it. And we see it right here, even in that moment, in a moment that, I mean, how else do you explain this? Something remarkable happens, but people are dismissing it as, oh, they're drunk. Okay, when you get drunk, you can speak another language. You don't know. It was fascinating. People rejecting it right away. It was interesting. One of my sources said, from this point on, you're going to find people rejecting or opposing the Jesus movement in every single chapter of Acts. I didn't have a chance to go proof check that, but you can go take a look. They said the only exceptions are this. They said the only exceptions to the every chapter are chapters 3 and 10. But here's what's interesting about that. In chapter 3, a story continues to chapter 4. You know what happens in chapter 4? There's opposition. In chapter 10, it continues until chapter 11. You know what's in chapter 11? Opposition. So really, every chapter of Acts, there's opposition to this movement. That same resource that gave me that stat made this point. They said, if everyone is pleased with what we do, we probably have not been truly faithful to God. That's worth considering. All right, here's the thing about the opposition that we find in the book of Acts. This fire that had broken out, this couldn't be contained. It couldn't be controlled, no matter how hard they tried. As we mentioned several times, we purposely chose this series about these things for this season that we're entering into. If you're taking notes, I want to invite you to write this down. We are entering into our own Kairos season as a church. We introduced that word last week. The Greeks had different words for time. One of their words was chronos. Chronos is measured, is time. It's measured by seconds. It's measured by minutes. It's measured by hours. What chronos does a great job of doing is telling you what happened. What it can't do is tell you how it mattered. It's got its limitations. Now, there's another Greek word. It's called kairos. Kairos moments, those are opportune moments. Those are the right moments. Those are when you hear people say God moments. God moments. Chronos time passes. Chronos moments, they've got the power to transform. Transform. And isn't that why we're here? Isn't that why we're here? You know, there was an extended season, a long one, especially in Europe and in the United States, when what began to happen is something that was fire, something that was wind, something that was this resulting praise that ended up going out to all the world, somehow that got chronoized, you know, chronoized, right? It just became something that you just did, that you scheduled. Okay, we're going to hit our festivals. We'll go to Christmas, we'll go to Easter. We'll schedule a Sunday thing. And what happened, people began, instead of this being a movement that they were a part of, it just became something that people did more and more and more. And what are the results of that when you look around? No wonder there's such a steady decline in the United States, in Europe. Well, about 5 years ago, I was reminded of this. 5 years ago, my youngest daughter, she was assigned a school project. The project was she's supposed to create an art piece and then explain it about her faith, something that represented her faith. And Andrew did not hold back. She shared how she had zero interest in just showing up for a show, she said. Zero interest in that. Listening to some life coaching with some Bible verses sprinkled on it, singing Reckless Love, and then going home for brunch. She goes, I had zero interest in that. Here's the art piece that she made. This art piece is a collage. With pictures of her trip to Juarez. And in that collage, she's got photos of people and experiences that impacted her life as she was impacting other lives. Because isn't that how it works, right? We impact each other's lives together. On the top, there's a passage from Hebrews, and it says, God won't forget your work and the love that you've shown him as you have helped his people. And I'm going to call this a prophetic project. The reason I'm calling it a prophetic project is the word at the bottom of the piece. I don't know if you can see it from where you're sitting, but it's juntos. Why I'm calling this prophetic is that this was 5 years ago. A bilingual service was not even on our radar then. Juntos. That's interesting. The Jesus movement, the real movement, not the thing that we kind of just settled into over the years as a culture, the Jesus movement didn't spread because the disciples came up with a more entertaining way to keep people interested when you're gathering for Christmas and Easter and on Sundays, right? That's not how it grew. The Jesus movement spread because there's a connection at a soul level. Something's happening here. Something real is happening. And we're going to see this as we continue to work through the book of Acts. We're going to see that the Holy Spirit brings conviction on people. Conviction. The Holy Spirit opens people's hearts and minds to begin to see, okay, wait a minute, what just happened here in Jerusalem, that is connected to the past. It's connected to what God's going to do in the future. Our moment is part of something much, much bigger. People's eyes began to be open to a reality. There is a really good father, a really good father. And he's adopting them into, adopting us into a one-of-a-kind family. One of a kind. If you've got a longing for that kind of connection with God that's real, if you want the keys to unlocking heartfelt worship, if you want to experience what it's like to pray and feel prompted, I feel like I'm supposed to pray in this direction, and then it happens. If you want to experience what the scripture describes as the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, if you want to experience what it's like to be doing things and then realize, I think I was created for this moment. I was created to do this. I was created to contribute in this way. If you want to have a more vibrant, contagious faith, we've got a Kairos moment here that's shaping up where we're going to get a chance to see God moving in so many different ways firsthand and to get to be a part of it. The late, great C.S. Lewis said, if you want to see a train, spend more time by the tracks. If you're taking notes, here's our invitation to you as we enter into this Kairos season. It's an invitation that we've given now before, right around the time we're coming into 2025. You're going to hear this more as we get into the summer and beyond. We're going to invite you to build with us. And we use that term in the broad sense. This is an invitation that comes in two parts, and it starts with choosing a project. By the way, I want to say this. If I'm going through this and you're watching or listening right now, and it feels like, oh, what you're trying to do is you're just trying to get people in this community to get more involved. You know, if you're feeling that, then here's what I want to say to you. I want to say, okay, then go to another place where you see God is really at work and plug in there. Because this is not about trying to get anybody to plug in at a manual. It's trying to get you to plug in with what God is doing. Because everybody wins when you do. You win, they win, everybody wins. Those of you who are, if this is your church home, of course I want to invite you to get involved because that's what it's about. It's not about just showing up and watching. It's about being a part of what he's doing. Again, that's not just for others. That's also for you, for all the reasons I described. So here are some ways. Here are some, I'm just going to call them projects, different areas where you can get involved in. The one that we put first is called strengthening our core, because that's where it's got to start, right? We need people. What does your core do in your body? Your core holds everything together. And so that's super important. And there's so many ways to help strengthen our core. That's about the Sunday morning teams. It's about these studio church teams. It's about teams that help to facilitate these important gatherings. It's about strengthening our ministries to men, to women. It's about
Bible studies and small groups and special events, things that help nurture our relationships and our soul. It's about welcome teams. It's about prayer teams and care teams and communion teams and camera teams. It's about caring for the facilities that we meet in. It's about elder boards and nominating committees and all these different things that help us continue to get stronger and healthier and facilitate the ministry. So that's one. Yeah, another one we talked about a lot, the big thing that's launching today, joining the Juntos Pioneers. Some are going to feel called to do that. People who are going to be out on the frontiers of bringing the English-speaking and Spanish-speaking worlds together. And one of the reasons that's so exciting, get to know Pastor Henry, the guy that's heading that thing up. I'm calling him the Steve Jobs of bilingual ministry, even though he's never done it before. He gets it. Like, he keeps bringing us back to the idea that we're not building a Latino ministry. We're building a truly bilingual. This is as much for the English speakers as for the Spanish speakers. It's going to be something. The next one's next level, next gen. That is about taking something that is already a pace-setting ministry to kids and to teens and bringing it to an even higher level. And this is one right now we could definitely use some help with. We're going to start something called Camp ECC this summer. It's this great opportunity we do right on Sunday mornings with these kids, a great way to watch what God is doing with these young kids and to even be a part of that. We have Rebuilding an Oasis of Hope in Juarez. You saw from that art project how that is affecting that one life. When you are getting to know and build these relationships with people who are doing significant work in a really tough situation, it is such a powerful thing for everybody. And then the Studio Expansion Plus, here we go. That is about us trying to help create facilities that can facilitate what God is doing. To add space, we're basically going to be doubling this space on this site here over the course of this summer. This spring, we're drawing up the plans, we're getting our permits, we're prioritizing projects, and then this summer, it's about building teams and getting to work. So if you got some special skills, let us know, because we'd love to start building those teams to create a really special space. In 2025, this year, we're inviting everybody to select at least one of these areas, ways you can get involved. And that's the first part of our invitation, choose the project, and then to actually get involved with helping it. So here's the second part. Second part is join him in his work. We're inviting everybody to pray. Wherever you are, that's one of the ways you can join us. If you're not able to come in person, that's a way you can join us. Pray, like God invites his family to pray. Invite, like God invites his family to invite. Give, the way God invites us to give. And serve, the way that God invites the family to serve. Opportunities to say I was there, they don't come all that often. We get a chance on multiple fronts to be able to say that with what's happening right down the hall with Juntos Ministries, the types of things that are happening with our kids, thing after thing after thing. We can point to so many different things that God is doing that are going to be really significant and are really significant. We can say, I was there. I was there. I open with a quote. Quote was, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. I never saw there was a second part to that. Here it is. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. If you want to make him weep, tell him what? Tell him you don't have any. Tell him you don't have any. If all of us pray, invite, and give the way that Jesus modeled and taught, the things that we experience together are going to be stories worth passing down. Can I get an amen? You know, stories worth passing down. Someone once said this too, never doubt that a small group of committed people can change the world. It's the only thing that ever has. Only thing that ever has. About 2,000 years ago, fire broke out in an upper room. We can trace our line all the way back to that small group. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to light a fire in us. Can I get an amen? All right, and what better time than right now? What better way than coming and saying yes to this invitation to engage in the sacrament of Holy Communion? Here's what we're celebrating when we commemorate this event. Our Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. There's so much that the Bible doesn't say about this sacred moment that we're about to enter into. It doesn't give a specific age. It doesn't prescribe a specific method. It doesn't prescribe a specific kind of bread or wine. But here's one of the things that Scripture does say. It says this in 1 Corinthians 11:28, let a person examine themselves. Let a person examine themselves. At Emmanuel, then, the only person that's going to keep you from the Lord's table is you. If you can sincerely pray these prayers that we're about to pray, we welcome you to join us for this sacrament. For those of you who are at home, what we encourage you to do if you gathered your elements is to take some time and make sure that this is real and sincere before you receive those elements as the body and blood of Christ. For those of you who are there at the community center and those of you who are at the studio, there won't be any ushers that'll be telling you now is your time to go. We'd like the Holy Spirit to be your usher. So when you've had a chance to make those prayers your own, we invite you to come and to join us at the Lord's table. So let's prepare ourselves for that moment right now. These aren't the perfect words or the magic words, but one of the reasons we do these together is so you can hear the other voices around you, that this isn't just you. You're not the only person that falls short. You're not the only person that struggles with these things. We're all in this together, all of us. You'll see this in the book of Acts as time goes on. They struggled too. I'm so glad that it wasn't just the successes that we see in the book of Acts. We see how God uses it all. And let's engage in this time together. Join me in these prayers. Heavenly Father, to whom all hearts and minds are open and all desires are known, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may more perfectly love you and more worthily magnify your holy name. We confess that we are sinners and cannot save ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. We are not worthy for these gifts which we are about to receive, but say the word, and we will be made clean. God, again, we're so thankful for the examples that we have before us. These examples from Scripture, the examples of people that we personally know, people who are not perfect or even close, but people who have just continued to take that next step in faith. And when they get knocked down, by your strength to get back up. So Lord, we pray for a whole lot of grace to be in this room here at the studio. We pray for there to be a whole lot of grace at the community center right now. We pray for there to also be grace wherever anyone is who's hearing and watching and listening to this message. God, may we experience your favor, your grace that draws us closer and closer to you. Lord, we also look at this as a little bit of a commissioning here too, that as we come to you, may just as food strengthens us for a journey, we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us through your sacrifice and your work and your Holy Spirit as we go forth in this place. One more thing too, Lord, I pray for folks as they discern, you know, what does involvement look like for me with the life stage I'm in, with the place that you have me? Lord, I pray again that there's zero guilt, but I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would steer people to a place where things match up really, really well, where they're at right now, who they are, and where there are some needs. And now, Father, we join our voices in this prayer, this amazing prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.